This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall. The teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars. And that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal. Soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Guys, this is our first time, so just be gentle. I'll act like this is also my first time ever doing a podcast because, excuses are good. Okay, so just in case, I feel like most people who know me know you and vice versa, but go ahead and introduce yourself for all the newbies out there, Jaren.
All right, I'm Jaren, or Monkeys Forever, as my Dota name is. I've played Dota for like 17 years.
Holy crap.
Been competing for about 9 of them now, I think. And I've been streaming for about 8 years and just, I don't know. You know, as we all know, Dota's the one true video game in the world, and that's where all my time has gone.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be interesting. I'll do my part after you. What would be your, like, one sentence about me? Like, what would be the one thing you say about me? If you had to give
one thing,
like, if somebody asked for, like,
you?
One sentence, what would it be?
A full sentence, or
anything.
If it had to be anything, it would be promo code BSJ.
No. It has to be like an actual thought. You know, like if I have mine about you, I have an idea. But if somebody said, like, hey, you know, tell me just a little something about BSJ, what would you say?
A little something about you. I would say you're a super intelligent guy. You actually do a lot of educational content for the community. And honestly, I would say you're one of the few people in North America who actually, like, cares about the region, I'd say, because there really are not very many content creators in this region. And actual educators, I would say, like, the main two are, like, you and Jenkins, basically.
Yeah, and it's bad when I'm being put in the same category as Jenkins. Nah, I'm kidding. He's a good guy. But I asked you that just for the sake of, I think what people are going to realize, it's a bit unique with you and I, because we just have history, obviously, playing Dota together and such. We've lived with each other because we were on VGJ at the time and such. But for anyone who doesn't know who I am, even though you probably watched this podcast before, if you are now watching it here, I've played Dota for about 8 years. So that's my excuse for not being as high MMR as Monkeys. I've been competing for like 4 years, but you and I kind of did something similar where we both took like a year, year and a half or so where we weren't competing, but you are back on a team. Go ahead.
It's very, I don't know. It's on and off with me, because in my opinion, when it comes to competing, like, you have to have that, like, right group of people, right? And typically, like, when a team ends or something, everyone else that, like, you typically would want to be on a team with in this region are already on teams. So, like, after the Paris Major, I was just like, I'm not going to waste my time on a team. I would rather just, you know, stream and grow my... product, you know.
I think just
chill for a bit, you know. And takes a, because also with competing, like, taking time off, you can also reflect on everything that you learned a lot better, and, like, you know, actually grow as a player rather than, you know, just grind.
Yeah, eventually the whole grind thing doesn't pan out to any palpable, like, growth, you know. Eventually, yeah, you're like, okay, I actually have to sit back and take a snapshot of my life and figure out what's going on. I think I'm going to do my best to keep us structured, because I know you and I can just ramble on about literally everything for whatever time it takes. But I think what a lot of I was going to finish real quick and say that I personally have now been focusing more on the content, as you know, you kind of mentioned. I've been more casting, and so we've kind of parted ways, not like in the sense of like we hate each other now, but like
yeah.
You and I, we even talked about it, haven't had nearly as much time to hang out. You're not really playing pubs, so the only thing
we're in very different places in the Dota scene right now.
So it's been very nice to have this opportunity. I've missed you, my dude. Yeah, I've missed you too. Like, I think a lot of people think you and I like hate each other. Like, it's really funny because like I'll be in pubs and I'll be giving you shit, and then you'll be responding and they're like, "Damn it, BSJ."
Yeah.
But I was just going to say the one thing for anyone who wants my opinion on monkeys is he's like the one guy in Dota that I've just it's once in a blue moon that I ever see you get mad. Like, you're just never mad. You just keep your head together for a game, and you're like that on a team too. I think every team needs a player like you where you're kind of like the rock. I don't know if that's like the best description, but like the guy that just is unwaveringly not going to tilt. And I think that's a big part of him. And if you're going to watch his stream, watch his games, like that's what he offers more so like uniquely to a team, not to take away from your skill or anything like that. But
fuck you, BSJ. Make him awful.
Let's be honest. Like, if he wasn't like that, he is just terrible otherwise. So that's no, I'm kidding. I really valued that when I played with you as a teammate, and one of the reasons why I valued you as a friend too in the Dota scene was just I think another thing you kind of we've talked about in the past was it felt like a lot of people you couldn't either trust them or you couldn't like you didn't really they were always looking out for themselves. And I think even though that's something that's required as a Dota player and in business in general, that the cool thing about the friendship we developed was just that even if we don't talk to each other all the time, even if we don't see each other, it's like, you know, you just know the other guy's got your back if he needs him. That's a cool
thing
to have.
We'll always be friends, like, no matter what, for sure.
And that's a cool thing to have in the Dota scene. And,
yeah, absolutely.
What I invited you for to be on this podcast as my new co-host was that I wanted people to be able to hear about... There's a lot of aspects of our Dota careers that have overlapped, even if we've gone our separate ways. You've had a different history than me, whatever. We're both streamers. We've both been on teams. Like, you've been on more teams. I've done more streams. You know, like, whatever. But I think it's really cool to hear the perspective of people like us kind of, I don't want to say shooting the shit, right? But, like, talking about things that we deal with in the Dota scene, things that happen daily, things that we've been through together, things, anything like that. I think it's rarely discussed. I don't know how you feel about that.
I think it's definitely a good idea to, you know, be more transparent about kind of the behind the scenes of, you know, Dota and just like competing and everything, because I don't think there's enough in esports right now, especially in Dota. Like, I think other games, you know, that they're doing a bit better, maybe not better, but like they're a bit ahead of the curve as far or compared to Dota. Whereas like they have a lot more community content and a lot more content creators and like, you know, stuff like that, and reliable ways to get good at the game. And you know, in Dota, we're definitely still like in the beginning stages, the beta stages of esports, you know. And I think there's a lot of good to come from, you know, just talking about, you know, what really happens like for pros, whether it's, you know, pro streamers, pro players, pro casters. I think all of it is just interesting, and there's really not that much information like to the public about what really goes on, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think the struggles uniquely of streamers, the interactions we have as players, like behind the scenes, like I know it's already been said, but this kind of stuff, like I don't think I would have ever imagined a lot of it happening to me, or a lot of the ways it works, the inner workings of Dota teams, the inner workings of finding a new team, like why you take time off. You mentioned how like it's not always good to just keep playing. We've both kind of gone through the whole ridiculous grind for like years on end to try to be on teams back to back to back, and then we've both kind of come to the conclusion that maybe it's best to not always be on a team, and like that learning growing as like you mature in the Dota scene, I think is is a really cool thing that I also don't get to talk about myself. And it's cool because we also did a decent amount of it at the same time, you know, on the same team and everything. So I just wanted this podcast, this episode specifically, to be more of a introduction to you and I, like how we even know each other, what this podcast is going to be about. So let's just be careful about giving too much away. You know, you've put out some danglers out there, but we have tons of topics that I could imagine talking about with you.
Absolutely.
Crap. And a lot of it's going to be like what happened, you know, this week. That's a lot of the Wombo Combo before. There's a lot about Breaky and I talking about basically just the tournaments going on in Dota and current events. And I think that's going to be good. But it's going to be, like, we're still going to have a bit of that in the podcast, but a lot of it's going to be like, okay, you know, for Zoomers, you know, you guys just got done with your tournament, or, you know, how did that, like, it's going to be more the insider perspective rather than talking more about the results. We'll talk about more, like, anything you're willing to share. You know, we always see those interviews with Dota players at the end of games, and they're like, yeah, we drafted, we picked some heroes, we won, we played better or whatever, we were the better team, but they're still pretty good, you know, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I mean I'll definitely be I definitely won't share everything, but like I'll do my best to, you know, like talk about, you know, inner workings and like how kind of our team works, because definitely a lot of people did not expect us to have like any success basically when we initially announced our team. So
yeah, so I wanted this being an introductory episode that it is. Most people I feel like that are watching you or me, since they probably watch it at Dota, know who the four Zoomers are, but like who started this team? Whose idea was it? You know, like the basics. Let's break it down.
The team started out as basically, I believe it was Gunner, Sammy Boy, and Husky. They were all just kind of talking together. This was right after the LA Major qualifiers. So back in like February or so, like
before the world
sometime
went
around
shit.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they were just talking about wanting to like create a team where there weren't really any expectations. There was just the mindset of improvement basically. And I believe they got Ryoya, and they had some like European offlaner that I've never even heard of, and I would see them scrim every like pretty much every single day for like 3, 4, 5 weeks or so. And I remember being like super envious, because you know I liked everyone on the team that I knew, that like the four people, and I was just like, man, I wish I was scrimming, because like at that point it had been almost a year since I had competed. And like, yeah, I'm sure you feel this as well, like when it's been a long time since you competed, like you miss that intensity that like you get from your teammates and everyone being on the same page and everybody like working towards the same goal. And I was basically like really, really eager to start competing again, but like I only wanted to do it with like the right team or players that I trusted and stuff like that. And basically the European offlaner that they were trying out, he just wasn't working out, and Gunner was just like, hey, Monkeys, you want to play with us? And without as hesitation, I was just like, yep. And then the next day, you know, I hopped in scrims with them. And then Susie got an offer from EG because Abed couldn't play here, and we got Ocean, and the rest is history.
Wait, so who was playing four when Susie?
Right. Gunner was playing four when we had Susie. So.
That's like a double whammy. Get him back to the one position he knows how to play. Make sure he's not playing.
I mean, Gunner definitely like he wasn't bad at four by any means. He actually was quite good. It's just, you know, when you switch roles, it's just it's really, really intense on you, because like you have to kind of like relearn how you're supposed to position on the new role, and like exactly like what your place is in the game, and that can take a lot of time. So it's definitely the easiest to, you know, compete with the main role that you practice, because you're pretty much always aware of like where you should be on the map, how you're supposed to be playing with the team and everything.
I've talked about that a decent amount, where it's like people don't realize there's a lot of ways you play the game of Dota that line up with your line up with your position in the team. Not only like in the number of your position, but in every team the offlaner will offer something different to how they play the map and all that kind of stuff. So if you're not only being on a new team, but also trying a new position, sometimes that can just be overwhelming. Like, you can kind of just look way worse than you are. I also just think pure experience in Dota is really important. So it's like, if you ask how many games of mid Gunner's played compared to how many games of four, it's like, you know, obviously I was jokingly talking shit. I don't actually know what he looked like as a four, but I... There are a lot of factors that go into that kind of stuff, and that's what I love about having this conversation with you over the course of time. Hopefully you don't abandon me like Breaky. No, I'm just kidding.
I have no intentions of that.
But I think there's so many things like that to talk about, and we could, like I said, we could rattle on for hours about that kind of shit. And I think that's really cool. And my camera really doesn't want to. Okay, it wasn't focusing. But, yeah, I definitely understand the eagerness to, like, get back onto a team. I get my viewers obviously asking me that all the time. I'm sure you had that when you were streaming. Like,
yeah.
I haven't seen you... When you said you were streaming today, by the way, I was like, what? You know, the monthly monkey stream is back online.
Yeah.
But, it's hard to do while you're on a team, right?
Like, it really is. And I think, basically, when you're on the team or on a team and you're competing, I personally believe that the team has to come first, like no matter what, just basically in life, like no matter what other obligations you have going, you have to be able to like make time for the team first and foremost, because otherwise, I feel like a lot of like animosity almost can brew. From people not putting the team first, because then, like, you know, some people will want to like do certain things on this day or that day, and then you're just like, oh no, I can't do this, I'm doing like all these other things, and then people start going like, oh, but I want to practice, I want to get better, you know, like you have to definitely accommodate your teammates to a certain extent, because like you have to, or that, like, it goes both ways, right? Like, you don't want to only practice all the time, but you also don't want to like kind of shun off or shrug off a practice and, you know, just kind of stagnate in performance.
You want your team to be like on the same page
in regards
to how much time and effort and everything is being put into the team. I feel like the one thing I would take away and agree with on you or with you there is that if it feels like one player on the team doesn't care as much about the team or as much about winning or doesn't prioritize the team as much as everyone else, that is like the number one source of like toxicity and divide within a team. And I think everyone putting it first and also everyone having someone to kind of, I always thought it would just end up being best if you have one guy that's like leading and then he says, hey, like, we're doing practice today, and he can trust everyone that they're going to show up and do their part, right? Like, it's one person kind of taking care of that, and then everyone else, like, it's not like you just fall in line and just do whatever, but you are doing your part at all times. And anytime you have a teammate that you never really know what you're going to get out of them, I feel like in terms of work ethic, in terms of their play within the game, it can be very mentally stressful, taxing. Like, we've been in that boat on teams we've been on together with other players, and it just makes the team's dynamic so poor and so off that that's why a lot of teams kind of just blow up. And there's a lot of reasons even more so than that, but
I mean we've had the conversation about teams before where, like, you know, having a five-man team, like, it quite literally is like having a five-way relationship. Like, everybody has to be very aware of like what everybody else's needs are and wants are, and like how you're going to accommodate everybody and like make everything come together and really like work out. And, you know, it's definitely stressful at times, but, you know, if it clicks and it works, like, it's so great. It's so fun.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. And there's no better place to start than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Get in on the action for this week's big UFC fight, or check out the odds on NASCAR, Formula One, and the Premier League. Can't wait for your team to come back? BetOnline has futures odds, including win totals, division winners, and even league championships. Or check out daily simulations of Madden NBA 2K to watch and wager on. Visit BetOnline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE, BetOnline, your online wagering experts. And now let's get back to the next story.
One topic I want to cover more in depth in a future episode, it's definitely gonna be the main topic, is why big Dota players don't stream. Like, why we don't see the RTZs, the Miracles, all these players that are on teams, why it's such a privilege or like a unique circumstance for them to be streaming ever. And I think, you know, you talked about it and you hinted at it a bit where it's like the team always has to come first. And I think this is a reality in the Dota scene, especially that, you know, a lot of other games have the luxury to not do that, you know, whether it's like the Fortnites and everything like that. And I think that's why Dota is much more of a, like a secretive game. You know, you talked about there's less educational content out there. It's like a lot of these top tier players, if they teach you educational content, they're like backfiring on themselves. They're like teaching their strategies that they use to win millions of dollars. So
Dota is certainly a, you know, everybody has their own ideas and it's just kind of a battle of wits. And in the end, because like truly when you watch like top tier Dota, all of them are like pretty much mechanically even, right? Like they're all like super, super equal when it comes to playing Dota. But then like what is really interesting in watching those teams is you see their ideas clash. You like, you see how they play around vision. You see how they hold high grounds. You see how they, or like when they group up to push towers and stuff. And there's a lot of diversity and uniqueness to Dota in that sense, because again, like, as you said, everyone's so secretive. So like people really don't, they don't share their full ideas. Like they may share like very basic information about like their ideas for Dota, but like they don't go really in depth about it.
Yeah, and another topic about this is somebody in chat, just to quickly go off, he says, if Miracle streams consistently, damn, that would be 50,000 viewers, he's the GOAT. And I would say he's not going to get consistently 50,000 viewers because he wouldn't be the GOAT anymore if he streamed all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
What he like? I'm not saying he's like not like. Of course, at the very start, yes, he would get that. But if he did that for like a year or two, it just wouldn't be the same anymore. Because at that point, you're not on. He's not on Team Nigma anymore. He's not winning majors. He's not getting top five at TI. Like that's just not happening anymore because he's streaming, right? So the point is like a lot of people just don't understand that dynamic, and I think it's a great topic for future episodes. And something I know you and I have wrestled with for me when I was on teams, especially the ones that aren't making money. It's like, how do you validate like, what yourself to not stream when you're like, you're looking at your paycheck from the team you're on and it's zero and you're like, and that I think for like a lot of people, you kind of just have to go balls to the wall and drop it all. Like I think it's been funny to see you as on the four Zoomers, and it's cool to see that you guys like believe in yourselves that way, because like you just went from streaming every day to like virtually not streaming at all. You're fully invested in this team, and it's showing in your guys' results. And I would you said, you know, every team kind of has their own like way of playing the game. If you had to give like your 1 to 2 sentence summary of your team, what would you say is your way of playing the game? Like what defines you guys? Who defines it mainly? You know, what kind of shit?
Honestly, the way I would describe us best is we are like aggressive to a fault. Like we literally and honestly, I think it's like one of our biggest flaws, and we've even talked about it before, is that we will run at enemies no matter like what is going on with us, like whether we're like 500 gold off of a BKB or you know we have Ravage on cooldown or whatever, like we will just consistently pressure until we die, and it is like, it's fun. Like, it's really fun to play BSJ, but sometimes, let me tell you, it is stressful as hell, because, like, sometimes we're at, like, half power, and we're just like, fuck it, just hold this high ground, see what happens, and, like, we just take a team fight, and it's like, well, that did not go well, we should have just waited the 50 seconds for, you know, all of our cooldowns and timers and whatnot, but...
Okay, so I want to say this up front and say a couple things. It's funny, because everything that pops into my mind, I'm like, okay, that could be a future episode, that could be another, like, I've obviously played, I've talked a decent amount with Gunner. He's like always in my pubs and I've seen him at events and all that kind of stuff. He's a streamer too sometimes. And I've also played with Sammy Boy. So minute you tell me that your team plays balls to the wall aggressive with no breaks, I immediately think those two players on your team. I would say, you know, those two core players. Gunner, in person, is one of the nicest, like, normal guys I've ever met. Like, he's, like, a very level-headed, well-rounded guy. Like, that doesn't happen very often in the Dota scene. I will say, I have high thoughts of Gunner, even though people seem to... Somebody yesterday asked me why I hated Gunner. I was like, what? So, I'm just going to tell you, in the Dota game, I'm not saying he's not level-headed, but that guy is nuts. Like, I can't believe what Gunner does in the games of Dota that I'm playing with him, against him. I'm like, there's no way he's trying to kill me again. And then, like, he's just there, you know? And I'm like, I look at his post-game stats at 10 minutes in. He's mid, right? He's a mid laner. He's, like, 5-3-5 with 20 CS. And I'm like,
yeah.
What the hell? You know, like, you know, but he's, like, winning the game for his team sometimes because the opponent team is so thrown off. And I really like seeing your guys' style in the NA scene, because NA's always been about, like, the Arteezy farming, you know, mindset. And it almost seems like you guys have assembled five crazy enough people to execute the same game plan. So I'm not going to go into depth about Sammy Boy right now. We'll talk. That's a whole nother episode. But my question would be, you know, you guys obviously embrace that play style, but what's the key to it? Like, are you guys, like, still figuring out how to max, like, how to perfect it, I guess? Like, are you guys just embracing it and then trying to figure out, like, where do we draw the line? Or
there's a lot of as far as we go, like, so when we first formed, we were just kind of playing in, like, the tier three tournaments, right? Like, those, like, maybe $3,000 prize pool tournaments or whatever, all like tier two, tier three teams. Typically, like, we were just playing in very new tournaments with, you know, not very well-known teams or anything. And we kind of just picked heroes and just tried, like, a ton of different styles initially. And for the first couple months, we were just, like, ricocheting a ton of ideas off of each other, just, like, watching a lot of, like, you know, Team Secret replays or Alliance replays or, well, a lot of EU replays, really. And then,
not,
like,
NA. Yeah.
Not many NA, because, like, I as you said earlier, I feel like NA has been stuck in this, like very similar playstyle, and everyone just kind of, like, mirrors the playstyle. Whether it's EG setting the playstyle or Quincy, like a lot of NA teams, they have this very, like, they think about the game very similarly, I would say. And but in EU, you'll see, like, four different playstyles from four different teams, and it's, like, it's just fucking, it's wild in EU. It really is. Like, the games are so fast, and sorry, I mean this on the competitive side of EU. Everybody always says EU pubs are the greatest pubs ever, and then I go to EU, play a pub, and people are destroying their items by 12 minutes, and it's, like, worse than NA, so...
That's a whole nother episode itself, talking about the regional pubs that we have to experience, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, we just kind of... We dabbled on a lot of play styles, and I think we kind of, like... We took a lot of good concepts that we felt we would be able to mimic really well from a couple different teams, and then we'd kind of, like, just added our own intensity to it, almost. Like, we're again, as I said before, we're very go, but I feel as we progress, like, we're more we think about the repercussions of, like, you know, each dive or each play more so now, like, rather than just, let's see what happens, like, you know, why not, maybe we'll win, maybe we'll lose, and now we're much more calculated, or we're getting more calculated as time goes on, of, like, you know, we actually have a spell on cooldown, and we're like, all right, maybe we should wait the extra 30 seconds, even if it's going to feel a little weird, you know?
Maybe we just try to hold it in.
Yeah.
My question would be, you know, since we're introducing ourselves as well as you to the podcast, what would you say your role in the team is? Like, are you who's making calls? Are you the one making calls? You know, who's
well, as far as communication, this is one of the most unique teams I've been on communication wise because it really is, like, people ask us all the time, who's the captain, who's the draftor, but, like, You know, for drafting, it's typically Gunner or Husky, like, actually pressing the buttons, but, like, we all do draft prep together. We all talk about heroes we like, heroes that we want to pick, here, like, counters to whatever they have picked. Like, we all talk about, like, our first two hero openings and everything. So, it's, like, as far as, like, captaining and stuff going, I feel we all are, like, fairly equal on that because, like, you know, sometimes Sammy Boy will have an insane laning stage and, like, by 10 minutes, he'll just, like, take over the game and make every call and, like, carry us to 30 minutes and then we're just winning, like, we've won the game by that point. Or, you know, other games it's Gunner, other games it's me. Sometimes it's even Ocean. And then, like, on average, I would say when lanes are just going even, that's when you hear Husky make the most calls because, you know, he's like the five position and he typically has like the most info on the map. So it's as far as like captaining wise go, like I feel like it's just we all mutually respect each other and trust each other. And we just kind of like we just trust what each other sees. Right. It's not like, oh, we have to do my idea. It's like we have to do all of our ideas. We just got to like, you know, listen to each other and play off of each other and keep going. But as far as my personal role on the team, I would just say like. I'm kind of the guy who enables like Gunner. Like I'm basically the third support on the team. That's how I look at myself half the time. Gunner, Sammy, they're carrying the game like 99 times out of 100. Like, I'm just there to have fun.
Like I said earlier, when you told me your guys' play style, and for what I've seen, I'm like, this is definitely the Gunner and Sammy Boy show in regards to like them dictating what you guys are doing. You know, like yeah. You guys are, you know, Sammy Boy is one of the like all I when I was on Sammy Boy's team, his signature heroes were Bloodseeker and Ursa. So if that doesn't tell everyone watching, you know, what exactly. The kind of player he is, you know, everyone has their, no matter what point in your career you're at, everyone starts playing Dota and naturally latches on to like 3 to 5 heroes, right? They just, those are the heroes they love playing. Those heroes just naturally fit their personality. Like,
of course.
That's one of the cool things that I think is relatable by everyone watching, everyone who plays Dota. And that's something that 100% carries over. You know, it's like, people talk about how toxic and cancerous Monkeys is. Broodmother, one of his favorite heroes, right? Like, clearly, like, you know more than you need to about Monkeys just by knowing that he's a level 25 Dota Plus Broodmother spammer, you know? So,
yeah, Batrider and Broodmother only player.
Hey, man, I watch your guys' games. There's, like, 2 to 3 bans per game randomly spent on your signature heroes. So
and it makes me laugh every time. Let me tell you, BSJ. Every time I see it, I'm just like, yep, knew it was coming.
Yeah, as long as you got like an extra 3 or 4 in there, it's all good. And it's funny. Okay, I'm telling you, I know I said this earlier, every single moment, like, just like that one, I'm like, okay, that's another subject to talk about. Because for me, a lot of this was like, oh, I know it's going to go well, like, me and Monkeys have talked about random shit all the time, but I'm going to be putting on myself for, like, show topics and everything. So today has been funnily effective for gathering random things that I would like to talk about in the future. But, you know... That I mainly just wanted to introduce us today. I don't know if I want to wrap it up already, but I think I want to ask this to set up for next week at least. What's going on right now for you? Like, not just 4Zoomers. It can be 4Zoomers if that is your entire life. But, like, what's going on in your Dota world coming up?
I mean, overall, as you said, I haven't been streaming as much as of late, but, you know, with the new patch finally dropping and everything, I'm at the point, basically, that I feel there's a lot that I have to do in pubs and whatnot. So, you know, over the coming weeks, I'm probably going to, you know, get a few good days of pubs in, you know, 10 plus games or whatever, and, like, actually test the things I want to test and, like, reprogram my brain to like get used to all the new cooldowns and, you know, armors and damages and everything, because
it's crazy how much that's the pubs are needed for that, right?
Yeah exactly. And so for the upcoming like few weeks, because We just got eliminated from Dota Pit, unfortunately, but you know, like, whatever, it's gonna happen here and there. What can you do? But the we don't have as many tournaments coming up, and we're typically calming down a little bit on scrim. So I'm pretty much gonna be just hopefully gonna be pubbing a lot, streaming here and there. You know, again, I don't know.
Do you know how when the next tournament is, or is still
I
waiting?
Believe well we're still in the South American rivalry tournament, which was basically just a rerun of the Beyond the Summon that we got second in. So we're still in that. We're still in like the early group stages of that, but they take like random 9-day breaks and stuff. So the group stage is going on for like.
Am I right?
It's like I have no idea what that schedule even looks like, but then we have. Well, I don't know if I can name the specific names of the tournaments, but I think we have three other tournaments that we got invited to that, you know, are coming up within the next like 3 weeks to a month or so.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's funny because the whole season kind of falling apart. It's earlier, like when I saw you guys forming your team and the world wasn't the way it was, I was like, oh, I look forward to seeing their impact next season or whatever. And now I'm like, when is... next
when what's going on?
Yeah, like, so, no. Usually it's like, okay, TI new season September.
I mean yeah. that's a whole other thing, because like when we first formed, like, honestly, it got really, really difficult for us to like keep the grind going after like the first 3 weeks to a month or whatever, because there were no NA tournaments for the first like two, three months for or after quarantine. There was like one ESL tournament and the first BTS tournament, and other than that, it was just like really, really small tournaments. So we were feeling really, really down early on in the team, because we weren't able to compete against like the good teams, and we felt like we were really, really good, but we just couldn't practice against the better teams because, you know, again, everybody thought we were a joke when we first formed. So It was hard for us until we, you know, finally got invited to that Beat tournament. That was just like a 4-team like $10,000 prize pool. It was like us, Quincy, yeah. Crazy, and Business Associates. Those were like the only 4 teams, and we won that, and we were all like so crazy, like we're like, we did it, we've won a tournament. I mean, it really wasn't that big a deal, but you know, we were just so happy to finally be in the public eye and like show that we're not just a joke, like we can compete, like we're here to stay or whatever.
Yeah, I saw KBBQ, Jack, the manager for Quincy Crew, he sent you guys a tweet that day saying like, nice to see another competitive team and look forward to like the, you know, the future series with you guys.
And
I mean, other than like the cool thing about your team right now is that other than like, you know, whatever team Quinn's on, EG and like Eternal Envy's team, you know, maybe those three. Who else is there? Like maybe the Moon, you know, so like the other players kind of overlap, but there's never been another team like for the last long time, you know, time.
I mean, Quincy, they've been fairly consistent over
well, what I'm saying is other than those teams. Than those teams for the last like 3 or 4 years, name another team that lasted more than like a month.
I would say that honestly, the teams that come best to mind are like your team or Stan King's team.
Yeah, and that and the thing is like those for would Dota be the players, main other two. We remember, right? Like because we've seen it all. But like to the average viewer, to the fan at home, like none of that means shit to them. Like as much as I love Stan King, it's like nobody, like hardly anybody remembers like the fact that he got second place at the TI Quals 2 years in a row. Like,
I mean, Stan's like honestly the most tragic Dota story think I have ever
witnessed. We could dedicate a whole episode in honor of Stan King.
We honestly should. Like, I feel so bad for Stan. Like, I truly think Stan was like a great North American captain.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he was a big player in it.
He was so close, like so many times. Like, I mean, even with us, there was 2 times you're one game off of being like going
good old
major.
Win the first game, lose the second and third game.
Yeah,
classic.
Like
that's all Dota is, though, right? Is it's like when we talk about the stresses as we move forward with this podcast and all the topics that we could possibly muster. There's just so many random stresses. There's so many dynamics behind the scene of like, God, like even for a team to implode for us, like with VGJ, it's like we were so close to like two or three tournaments, and then the team just gets demoralized, and then suddenly the team's just gone in like 3 weeks. And I think the cool thing is so many people see what's happening. They're like, holy shit, another team disbanded, or another this, another that. And there's honestly some rhyme, you know, there's some method to the chaos. Like, there is consistent things that are happening that people don't actually know is happening, that is causing this. And that's what I look forward to talking about, is all these random craps. You know, as we have gone separate, I talked about this being an awesome opportunity to just talk to you in general. And for me, like, you got your team. For me, I've been like focusing on my YouTube, my streaming. I was hoping to put out more content like this podcast, so I look forward to that. And it's funny because, like, for you with playing tournaments and everything, for me, it's like casting tournaments. It's like, you know, I, like, last year I went to 10 tournaments or something where I'm traveling and stuff. And this year I'm like, well, I guess I'm sitting at home. So gotta do what I gotta do.
That's a whole other thing about, you know, just, I don't think it's exclusive to being a Dota player or caster, but like, when you are in the esports world, wherever it may be, like, life can change for you, like, instantaneously, almost with like no warning. I remember there was one night I was this was way back in 2015. I was just sitting in my room playing pubs, and randomly at like 9 p.m. Kyle from the Kyle was the captain of Complexity back then. He just randomly Steam calls me, and he's like, "Abandon your game. Come stand in for us in this best of five series." And they already lost the first two games. I stood in for them. We lost the third game, and then I was just like, "Ah, oh, damn, that was a good chance for me to like prove to these guys that I'm decent." And then 2 hours later, Kyle's like, "Do you want to fly out to Canada in 11 hours and play a LAN with us?" And I was like, fuck yeah.
You and I were on Leviathan prior to VGJ. We found out 3 days, I think, before we were flown to New York that we were on VGJ. You know, like, VGJ had kind of like disbanded slightly, and they were like, hey, like, we need two players. And at the time, it's just funny. Like, a hilarious question that I've been asked in chat a lot as I've been streaming is, hey, BSJ, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or like, what's your plan? And I'm like, I couldn't even tell you where I'm going to be in like 6 months. Like, that's just the esports scene. It's ever changing. You have to be ready. You know, people are like, a lot of things for me is you just have to constantly be like self-aware of what's best for you. That's like a lot of it is, whether it's streaming, whether it's playing, whether it's taking some time off, you know, like whatever it is, keeping your own. It's just like in a Dota game, you know, how strong am I? You know, how ready am I to fight? How ready am I to do the next thing? It's like constantly monitoring your own self, and there's a lot of things that I don't get there's just not very many people in the world to talk to this shit about, right? Like, what percentage of people actually get the exact dynamic of this? And that's why, like, hearing two people just bounce it off and back and forth on each other like this is what I think will be unique about this podcast. So as an introductory episode, that's that for me. You know, Monkeys is being agreeable. Maybe he'll tell me something off screen, but this is that's what exactly we are going for. And in the weeks coming forward, it will be a bit more organized with, you know, maybe pinpointing one of the topics we hinted at today or just talked a bit about. And I'll do my best to keep us in check, because I'm just being clear. I know I've said it, guys, but Monkeys and I have rambled about random crap too many times.
We roomed together for like a month when we were on Runes, and we never ran out of things to talk about.
If you watch our streams, if you know us at all, you'll know we have absolutely no problem blabbering on and on and on. So I'm going to take that opportunity to say I think we're good for this week. Do you have any final thoughts going into the podcast moving forward, Jaren?
Not really. I look forward to it. I mean, with the world being in the state it has been, I've just been looking for things to do. And this is a great reason for me to stay in touch with you. As we said before, we have not had as much time to talk because obviously we're both very busy with our own stuff. So I just look forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Nothing like boredom to motivate, creativity and moving forward. So on that note, thanks for watching, everybody. We will be back next week if Monkeys has not abandoned me by then. And hopefully see you guys there.